This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Tropical Storm Hillary. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Some of you listening to me are battling the elements, especially California. 5.1 on the Richter scale. You got hit by an earthquake and rain, massive rain at the same time. Mud slides all over the place. In Nevada, they're having problems with flooding and mudslides, too. It depends where. Baja California, pretty nasty stuff there. Palm Springs, Palm Desert, hit pretty hard. People having their cars stuck because of the floods, road closures all over the place. A potentially historic amount of rainfall from Tropical Storm Hillary across the Southwest. A lot of schools that were set to open for the first day of school, not open. A lot of places are closed, sports events shut down, knowing that this was going to be bad. And sure enough, it is. I mean, look, the National Service, Weather Service in Los Angeles warned of life-threatening flooding in areas northwest of Malibu. Floodwaters can surge over dry earth pretty quickly. We know that. They're warning people in Santa Clarita, California, to drive with caution. Because of some of the flooded out areas, San Bernardino County has declared a state of emergency, and there's down power lines in Yuma, Arizona, knocked out power for thousands of people, all of that unfolding now. You have the governor urging Californians to stay off the road, avoid Los Angeles beaches for days after the storm is what the message is in Orange County. The flooding is super serious. There was a big warning that was sent out ahead of time, and sure enough, it showed up. So that wall of water is continuing. Now, Hillary weakened from a hurricane earlier in the day, but it brought extreme and wide-reaching effects to California, the desert Southwest, Mexico's Baja California, tens of millions of people. We knew this heading into this are under a tropical storm warning, the first of its kind, by the way, issued for SoCal in a very long time. Heavy rainfall and catastrophic flooding in parts of Arizona and Nevada as well. So large swells, that means dangerous condition, pools on the desert floor because there's nowhere for it to drain. So you think of some of the areas and those under sort of this more than watch, but Arizona, Nevada, California, like I said, parts of Oregon and Idaho, too, because some of that affected by the tropical storm, right? And the rainfall records, man, already I'm seeing it. Some of the heaviest amounts reaching up to 6 inches just east and north of Los Angeles, right? And Tropical Storm Hillary hasn't pulled away, so this is still going on. For example, life-threatening flooding in Point Doom, Camarillo. I have a best buddy in Westlake Village. She was texting me, and I was asking if they were okay. And in the middle of that, the earthquake hit over 5 on the Richter scale. And just to add insult to injury, right? And this is what we're seeing. So we knew the storm was coming, how bad it was going to be. You never know until it actually hits. But I mentioned the down power lines, knocking out the power. I mentioned the floods in some of the areas, the counties that seem to be hit the worst. The idea is, avoiding the beaches because of the possibility of bacteria. That's what you get when you have that significant amount of rainfall. And this is nasty, nasty stuff. And it's interesting because there's also And we knew this too, but there's also strong winds. So that also hits hard because of what that can do to power lines. And then flights canceled. A lot of flights canceled. Ontario International Airport, Burbank, another one that got hit by some of those delays and suspensions because there's no way they were getting in or out with that. It's weird because the fire department, they might have had rescues and stuff, but late in the afternoon, you had the Los Angeles mayor who tweeted out that now this earthquake near Ojai, California, that the Los Angeles Fire Department is in earthquake operation mode. So 106 neighborhood fire stations do these strategic surveys to assess the potential damage, because what did it do to any of the buildings? The schools are closed, like I said. Las Vegas, pretty unfamiliar with flooding. I used to live in Las Vegas. I can't ever recall. It was like a miracle when it rained, but I can't ever recall any kind of flooding. So with the rains picking up and hitting there, people are not used to that. They're just trying to figure out how to keep the water out of their house. And then, of course, the other worry for some places in San Diego, they were worried about it because they started to see rotation about possible tornadoes, and Death Valley National Park had to close because of the flooding. That's a perfect example. There's no place for water to drain, and they had a lot of water that, of course, came very, 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 very quickly. So there were shelters that are set up. People are taking advantage of that. I saw some drone footage of the floodwaters, and pretty bad some areas in San Diego and outside of San Diego, watching and seeing what it does when it comes down in the massive amount of time, short amount of time. You know, they're in Palm Springs, another place that I've been to many times, 60,000 sandbags were delivered because they knew, man, we have a great chance to get hit here. And people were frantically trying to get those out as quickly as they could, again, knowing that there was a great chance they were going to be in the center of this thing. And sure enough, you know, they got hit. Meanwhile, off the mainland and to Lahaina we go. And in Lahaina, they're still doing the identifying part of trying to find people because there are still people unaccounted for. 111 people now confirmed dead as a result of the fires that happened. There's the promise of rebuilding. There is the idea of how, you know, holding services and sacred land and territory. There's so much that's happening in Maui and especially in this historic town in trying to figure out what happened, even, you know, what does it mean that that there wasn't water that was available in some of the hydrants, because it was a different mindset about that. And then what about the sirens? That was the other part, not using the sirens because the people would think it was a tsunami. And would the sirens have helped some of the people? So there's a lot of handicapping of what happened and figuring out what's better for the future, dealing with the situation in front of them, as far as identifying, going through all of that. And it's really, really, really crazy sad. United Way giving $1,000 to each resident with a home or business. So stay with us.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Young, Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
To an airport and you're waiting for your plane to take off and you hear that the crew hasn't shown up, and then you're looking all over the place, like your head's like on a swivel, you're just, where are they, where is the pilot, where is the crew, what's happening? Well, you wouldn't believe this, but some of the problems that the crews run into, which would include the pilots, are these sprawling airports that they can't get across fast enough. Right, so then once they get into the airport, if they're coming into it from the outside, it's getting to the gates, navigating your way to the gates. And think about it. You've got these really big airports, not some of the regional airports, but some of the others. And I've lived in areas with these sprawling big airports. So would you believe the longest airport trek in the United States, where the walk from an entrance in a terminal to another terminal is almost 3 miles long? Yes, is the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. There was a shoe company that did a study. Now, so they found that that's what it was. The airport does have a train, but when you're hustling and hurrying, and then you got to dig in somewhere and make a right and a left here to get on the train, ugh, you're not doing that. You're just running. You know, you're just running. That's what you're doing. Phoenix's Sky Harbor Airport, International Airport, I've been there many times. They've got a fitness trail where you can view mountains and parks and other city landmarks from the concourses, because it's nothing but walkways. You know, the electronic walkways, the moving walkways. Moving walkways are what they're called, not electronic. Moving walkways. In Orlando, which is a madhouse, if you fly to Orlando because you're going to Disney or going to another park or just going to Orlando because it's a big convention area, you have to allow extra time, especially coming back from wherever you are. They opened a $2.8 billion terminal, but guess what they didn't put in? Moving walkways. So people are complaining. They can't get from one place to the other. Salt Lake City International Airport opened a new terminal, and it's been criticized heavily from a lot of people because of the walks to the gate, which can take more than 25 minutes to a half an hour. Wow. So now you know what that airport's doing? They're building a tunnel to shorten the walk from security to the concourse. Right? So people are missing flights because they have to walk so far. In a way, it's interesting. Because of the flight delays, what's good is you can get... You can eat whatever you want, right? But that's only going to go so far. So how do you burn off that energy? Just walk around the airport when you have one of those big airports that you're in. But in all seriousness, there's even if you are a person who's always on time, you leave on time, you give yourself plenty of time, well, you can't always know what the delays are going to be like, and it's really tough. I mean, pre-9/11, remember those days? Or somebody could skid up to the outside of the airport, throw you out of the car, boom, you run through the airport, no big deal. I mean, of course, we know those days are long gone. But it's interesting because people get to the gate. I've seen people huff, and they might even be in good shape. But I see people huffing and puffing getting to the gates because they have such longer walks. I mean, Newark, Chicago. And in those cases, in Newark and in Chicago, the moving walkways were removed because they made room for more shops and restaurants. They needed more room. So this is all part of it. And then, of course, security changes because of September 11th. So all the things that happened there. So the treks have become worse, partially because of that. You know, it's interesting. It's definitely not about squeezing in utility. In fact, I think when I'm in most airports, except for when they're, you know, regional airports, small airports, I feel like I'm in a shopping mall. Like I'm, oh, okay, I got through security. Now I'm in a shopping mall. And that's why, if you're a good packer, that's key. If you can pack well, take the bag right on the plane, just get there, take the bag off, and you might be stuck with the bag, but it's so much safer. And if it's lighter, it's easier. That's what you want, because you just don't know how you're going to end up. You just don't know what's on the other side of it. You know, in traveling, you have no idea. Who knows? I'll tell you one of the worst. And I don't know what it's. They say Dallas Fort Worth, so I'm going to go with that with this survey because they included all airports, you know, all the big major airports. Miami is tough. Miami is tough to get through. If you're flying internationally, you definitely have to wear your track shoes because you're going to be so frustrated by the time you get out of the lines. But once you do that and break free, then you got to make another huge leap to another side of the airport. And that's all part of the whole travel fun, right? I mean, what do they call it? First world problems? Okay, first world problems. But it's just something to remember. So perfect mic drop situation, right? I never watched this show, but a lot of people I know did. And I know who this guy is, this actor, Ron Cephas Jones. He's an Emmy Award-winning actor, and he was very popular from the show This Is Us. He died at the age of 66. He was known for playing William Hill, who was a recovering drug addict with terminal cancer, who reconnected with his son, who was a major character in This Is Us. So he was nominated for an Emmy 4 consecutive times for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series, and he won a couple of times in 2018 and 2020, but he was in a lot of other movies too. One movie I saw, which I laughed my head off, was called Dolomite Is My Name. I never heard of it. My nephew told me about it, and we watched it, and it was so funny. But sadly, I guess he had a double lung transplant. Boy, that's unusual. In May of 2020, he had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So he was on and off a ventilator and had to learn to breathe, eat, and walk again. And he did, but there were limitations. And that ultimately, you know, took his life. But he was somebody in the acting business anyway that was really, really well-liked and was hired for many, 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 many different roles. So RIP for this actor, Ron Cephas Jones, dead at the age of 66. Couple of other quick odds and ends. We know it's about the rain and the flash flooding and the power outages. Be careful out there because I know we have a lot of listeners in this audience that are in those zones where that's happening. We've talked a lot about Maui. We've talked about what's coming up with the Republican debates and Donald Trump, the former president, saying he's not going to participate in all the polls. He leads everyone by leaps and bounds, by incredible amounts. And if we were talking about Biden versus Trump, it is a coin toss, basically. Both in the latest poll would get 44% each. So there you go. I mean, this is pretty much the road to 2024, unless something unforeseen happens. You never know. And some people think that Trump may just show up to those debates on Wednesday and surprise a few people. I don't think so. I think he realizes the why, right? Well, why am I doing that? And he already has a megaphone. He already has an audience. He already has a platform. He doesn't need to do that unless he decides at the last second he wants to do that. But I think so much will still center on him. There'll be definite questions. I said this in a previous hour. It's, you know, you don't have to be a genius to realize so much centers around the indictments and what happens there. And they will definitely weave questions in this first debate in about Donald Trump. That is absolutely 100% for sure. Coming up, a couple of really great authors, including Harry Bynum, who is a wonderful guy. He and his wife adopted a special needs daughter, but he doesn't even look at her as a special needs daughter, just as a special gift that they were given. Her name is Callie, and that's what his book is all about. He's coming up on the flip side.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Tropical Storm Hillary has made landfall in northern Baja. The storm is expected to dump a year's worth of rain on Southern California and parts of Nevada and Arizona over the next few days. Hawaii Governor Josh Green says his state has seen as many fire emergencies this month as it had in the last 50 years. Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, Green said he wishes sirens had gone off for the wildfires in Maui, but added that the sirens are typically used for tsunamis. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he was never made aware of any broad-based declassification of documents by former President Trump. Pence's comments on ABC's This Week were consistent with what former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows reportedly told investigators for Special Counsel Jack Smith. Oppenheimer has surpassed $700 million at the box office globally. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I am so pleased to introduce you to a very special man. He and his wife have such a great story and the journey that they took and then how it has all ended up for them. Harry Bynum joins us. The name of his book and the story is about Callie's story, and it's so powerful. What's happened with this child, how the child was brought to them, and so many other things. So we are pleased to have him on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Harry, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today.
So you have a successful career. You and your wife are doing great. You want children. Tell us what happens.
With having children? Callie, specifically, we were married 25 years and always wanted a child. And it never happened for various reasons. And then Callie came along into our lives, and she is our daughter. She is our child. We adopted her when she was born, about 9 months after she was born, we adopted her. So, yeah, we got our girl.
And how did that all happen? How did that unfold? Because there's so many people that have been on this journey and so many people that have stories so similar to yours where for some reason it didn't happen, various roads were taken, things happened, and then all of a sudden you have this opportunity, and the opportunity comes with special needs, but then turns out to be an incredible blessing. And we're going to talk about Callie. But what was it like when you first met her?
When we first met Callie?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, it was head over heels in love. The momentum had built up to the point to where, if I could take one step back, Callie has been a desire of ours for a long, long time, long, long, long time. And you know what? It's all about the timing and being ready. I never wanted to adopt. Debbie will tell you, my wife Deborah, she will tell you, I never wanted to adopt. But the timing came around that my heart opened up and said, okay, let's, because somebody called us, somebody that we worked with, her sister was giving away her baby. And so we got that call, and then all of a sudden we had a child. And it works out to be a miracle in a lot of ways, because the timing was right. Callie was placed where she needed to be. And we consider Callie and always have as a gift. And you know, when you receive a gift, especially one that you love, you really take good care of it. You really do.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And tell us about Callie and Callie's life. And as you said, you were the right people. It was the right timing, and because there were things that you had to deal with.
Yeah. Callie was born in Santa Monica, California, and we lived in Denver. So we took a road trip, and on the way down there, we had to line up attorneys and arrangements to make to get Callie legally across state lines and back into Colorado. And we had to make sure that it was done properly. And Callie was born 3 weeks premature. Her birth mother had never had any prenatal done up until the time of the day that she was born. She went in for the appointment. The baby was breached. Callie was born. Boom. Callie arrived. And but that's why I say timing is everything. And for the first year, she wasn't doing normal things like a newborn would do, like crawl and babble and you know, get around actively. So we had to check it out and find out that they placed her under the cerebral palsy umbrella. And at the time, they didn't know what Angelman syndrome is. She does have Angelman syndrome. It's a genetic birth defect that comes from the female side. So she's lacking chromosome 15 specifically in her, which she does not talk. She does not have a vocabulary. Mentally, she's about 2 years old. She is healthy, and we make sure that that's correct. But she does have seizures. And that was the first sign that seizures popped in and go, uh-oh, all of a sudden, major attention being paid, you know, for Callie. And learning that she had seizures. And so very special. But, you know, at the time that we learned that she was disabled, it didn't matter. You know, we said, okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to take care of this girl? You know, that's where the unconditional love comes in. Unconditional love is the foundation. And receiving Callie as a gift, let's take care of this girl. And we do every day.
And again, the book you can get on Amazon for a song. Seriously, people pick the story up, Barnes & Noble. And it's Callie's story. And then the subtitle is What You Need to Know About Raising Your Special Needs Child. So what do you talk about in the book?
Well, I give a background about Callie and how she arrived in our lives. And also some of the most important things that people need to be encouraged. We just want people to be encouraged about the fact that they are chosen when they receive an appointment or an obligation or a destiny to care for somebody that needs their care. Then I want to make sure that people understand the attitude about caring for the individual means everything. It's not a job, it's a mission. It's not a hindrance, it's not a hardship, it's a privilege. And with that unconditional love foundation, it makes everything different. Excuse me. We also go into the daily routine, because a lot of people go, Callie works well with a routine. We get her up, we have a morning routine, we get her bathed, we get her downstairs to eat, we have a daily routine, we have a nighttime routine, and that really fits in with Callie because she knows what to expect. Being mentally challenged, the routine means a lot. And once she gets out of routine, then things can kind of go sideways, but you learn how to work with it. And so the routine also, it's important to know that people need to take care of themselves. Caregivers need to take care of themselves. You know, there was a point in Callie's life where I decided, you know what? I need to take better care of myself because I'm in this for the long term. I need to be sure that I can take care of Callie and physically, mentally, spiritually. So I changed my diet. I got rid of the junk foods that I was eating so I could get better sleep in a shorter time frame. So when I got up, I had the energy that I needed to do the day and the night. And it's really paid off. But things like that are vital. Caregivers need to take care of themselves so that they can take care of others.
Yeah. You told me something interesting that, you know, it's funny that Callie brings joy to a lot of people, because when you've been out and about, people always comment, don't they?
They do. It's really interesting, but it's the truth. People are drawn to light. And when you have something as pure as the light that radiates out of Callie and other people with special needs, and there's been other families, you know, when you meet people with families with special needs individuals, there's something special about that. And you can tell that there's a degree of light and love, and people are drawn to love. Human beings want to be loved. We need to be loved. That's a part of us. And so when we do go out with Callie, that smile just draws people to her. She will reach, sitting in a Starbucks, she will reach across the room, pick out a person, reach across the room, extend her hand and say, hey, I'm over here and I'm going to meet you. I want to know you. And they're drawn. They're drawn to her. But the outcome is a joyful experience for Callie and the individual, because people got stuff going on in their lives. They need to be touched by something pure and by love itself. And that's what Callie radiates. And that's why people are drawn to her like they are.
So, and you're saying this really throughout the conversation, but when people read Callie's story, ultimately, what is it you hope that they take away from your story?
Be encouraged that you are the one that's been chosen to take care of this individual. Receive the individual as a gift, not a hardship or a job. And with that attitude, you will recognize that your daily routine is more joyful and is not a burden and is not a hardship. And mentally, that has a high impact on people. If they, oh, I got to take care of this individual. No, no, you get to take care of this individual. And also know that there are resources available to help families with special needs, federally speaking, statewide, and there are support groups out there. You can hook up with people that have the same things going on in their lives. And when you speak to people and other parents and caregivers about things like that, it lets you know that, hey, you're not in this alone. There is support out there. And you also learn from each other. Some of the most profound things we've learned about taking care of Callie were from other caregivers and other parents. And so that community really helps out the individual and keeps you active and not isolated. You get isolated, could be a sour situation. So stay out there with people, reach out and support others, and you'll get that support back.
Mm. What an inspiring book, and I hope so many people listening to this pick it up. Callie's Story, What You Need to Know About Raising Your Special Needs Child, Harry Bynum. You and your wife are special people. There's no question about it. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
Delaney, I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Kate Delaney Fan Page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
That is what I call so transformational, and I think this is a book that you should go and pick up without a doubt. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. In fact, this time around on Author's Corner, Michelle Mattingly joins us, and her book is called Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, and her experience in going there and what got her there and how she feels about giraffes is unbelievable. Michelle, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
So tell me about your journey in writing this book and Kilimanjaro. Share that with the listeners.
Well, this started when I was in my late 50s and realized my life was going nowhere. Wasn't real happy with my past, wasn't seeing a very happy future, needed to do something to kind of shake things up and put me on my feet again. And Africa had always been in my mind. I love the giraffes, like you mentioned earlier, and I thought, well, that would be a fun thing to do, to go to Africa. And somewhere in that process, the idea of climbing the mountain came up. And I thought, well, if I could climb a mountain, I could do anything. And all kinds of doors would open if I could just make that happen. So I went through the process and decided that I would go and do this on my own. I had to come up with resources for it. It was a major event to be able to put this together. But I ended up in Africa, met some lovely people there, and took my journey up the mountain. And although a lot of people think, well, you know, you have thoughts when you're by yourself, you know, 5 hours climbing, you're going to think a lot of things. But from my experience, I didn't just think things. I heard things. And what I say is that I heard the voice of the mountain, and she is the Empress. She is, you know, that song by Toto, Africa says, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. Well, I thought it said rises like an empress. So I always thought, okay, that's what she is. She's an empress. So that's how the title of the book came about. But I spent 6 days climbing to the top. And when I got there, everything changed. My whole life shifted. Those 6 days were the most powerful days I ever spent. And I made it to the top, despite the fact that I spent a few days throwing up and some days crumpled up on the ground in a ball. I did get there to the top, and it changed everything.
What was it like when the toughest part of the climb, who could you lean on? What did you learn about yourself before you actually got to the summit?
Well, all of my fears came to the surface during that time. Everything that you can possibly be afraid of, I was afraid of being alone, afraid of being abandoned, afraid of not being strong enough, afraid of failure, all of that. And I had the most wonderful guide. These young men who do these treks up the mountain, they just are extraordinary. And there were no other hikers. So this was just me and the guide going up the mountain. And we really bonded. And just before the summit, I was not at all sure I was going to get there. I was so tired of throwing up and so tired of being weak and sick and achy. I just didn't think I was going to make it. And I didn't want him to be disappointed with me. And I said to him, I don't think I'm going to make it. And he looked me in the eyes and he grabbed both of my hands. And he said, you make a mistake. You think the mountain is out there. And he glanced out at where the trail was. And then he looked at me and he said, no, the mountain is in here. And he grabbed my hands and he pulled them to his heart. And he held my hands against his heart. He said, the mountain is here. And I understood that it was just about what I believed I could do. We all give up so much more quickly than we need to. And he was telling me I had it in me. It was going to happen if I wanted it to. And those words did everything. That there was the shift. And that's what made it possible for me to spend 9 hours just going up to get to that summit.
Wow. And all of this, of course, you can read all this in the book. There's so many juicy, wonderful tales and details and I think things that will make people really realize what they can do in their life. Again, the name of the book, Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, Michelle Mattingly. We're speaking with her. And Michelle, you also have an affinity for an animal that I have an affinity for, giraffes. And tell me about that experience and what you have going on in Africa in the future.
Well, part of my journey included a message for my own future. And the Empress told me that there was going to be a place for other Wasafiri, for other travelers. She referred to me as the traveler throughout my journey. And she said there was going to be a place for other travelers, and I was going to make it happen. And her last message was, and Twiga will roam in your own backyard. And Twiga is the word for giraffe. So Kephas and I, we bonded so much. I literally adopted him in every way that you can, short of paperwork. He's my son. And for 7 years, we've worked together. And this month, we're closing escrow on a piece of property right at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro, where we are going to open a giraffe preserve and the Wasafiri House. So a traveler's home for people who want to make the journey up Kilimanjaro, but they don't just want to climb the mountain. They want to have a spiritual experience. They really want to be transformed.
Wow. Ooh, I just get chills even thinking about that. For you with this book, what do you hope people take away from reading the book when they get it?
Well, of course, the main theme is that, you know, what we decide we can do, we can do. When we all of our fears are just that, they're fears. They're not grounded in anything. And we have to be willing to take a lot of chances to get our dreams. But for me, one of the things that kept coming up over and over again, because I was the traveler, we're all travelers. And I think that Charles Dickens kind of summarized it in A Christmas Carol, where he said, we are all fellow passengers on the way to the grave. And short of that little morbid tidbit, I would just like to say that we're all just travelers. We're all going through a journey. And if we could all see each other as just fellow travelers here on this planet, maybe there would be less animosity, less hostility and judgment. Maybe we would just be kinder to each other going, yeah, we're on this journey together.
Yeah. When, you know, your children, the people around you, when you made this journey and then you came back, what was their reaction? And now, of course, they can even read more details and now you've got, you know, this book. What was their reaction to it?
Well, they definitely saw a shift, and it's not a week goes by that one of them doesn't comment about the fact that so many things have happened in the 7 years since my climb. Well, for one thing, I published the book, and that was a huge undertaking. And one of the things that I had been hoping for was to find a life partner. And I got married in 2020. So just so many things happened after that, and they all noticed how many things have happened because of my experiences on the mountain, how much less fearful I am because of it.
Wow, that's the hashtag, releasing fear. So now that you've got this book out, and I know there's something else that's rattling around in your head, what's next?
Well, I'm currently working on some children's books called I Speak Swahili because I was enchanted by the language. And I thought, you know, what a great way to bond the two continents with children's language. So I've already published one book, and it's Animals of Africa, and it's both English and Swahili, all the animal names. And there's going to be a series. But beyond that, I'm really looking forward to doing a sequel to Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, and it will be Lessons from Mount Kilimanjaro.
Ah, yes. So, again, something that would be very, very handy for so many people that we've talked about. You mentioned it. Wouldn't it be great if we could all feel that kindness and that love and jump over that fear, because you'll see the transformation, which is what you saw.
Yes.
It's a great book. Before the Empress, Messages from Mount Kilimanjaro, Michelle Mattingly. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And remind everyone again, you can get the book on Barnes & Noble, of course, but also on Amazon. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.